So, listen, let's think just a little bit, because I'm about to tell you something that perhaps you don't know or haven't really thought about or haven't realized, and what I'm about to tell you is really a pretty big deal. It really, really is, because many of us, tend to not really see this, or it escapes us. Are you ready for this? You and I, you know, we're human. Did you know that? We're human. And sometimes we think that we are at the center of things and that the world is about us and that everything that happens revolves around us. But the fact of the matter is that we're human. You and I are human. We're people. We're just regular old folks. And there are many things that are very good about that. And there are many things that are really concerning about that. Here's some of the very good things there are about being human. Number one, you know that you have a maker and a creator and a God that loves you and cares for you. He made us. The scriptures tell us that we were knit by God in our mother's womb. That means that he chose you for who you are. God, the Almighty Maker, made you just the way you are with the gifts that you have. And then he placed us in this incredible creation, a creation that allows us to see things that fill us with wonder, sights like the beautiful mountains capped with snow, like the beautiful iridescent glow of the ocean, all those kind of things we get to see. God gave us the opportunity to hear things, the cacophony of the creatures in the creation, symphonies and music that allow us to experience fully the joy of the Lord. He allows us to feel things, the warmth of somebody that loves us when they touch us or the embrace of another human being. He gives us that. He has given us taste. And we could hear that too. He has given us the ability to taste. Can you imagine having a wonderful, wonderful meal and having it fill your taste buds? Or, okay, if you're old enough, a wonderful glass of wine, maybe from California, and just experience that and love that. God has given that to us. God has given us the ability to experience creation fully and to sense it and to enjoy it and to be blessed by it. But there's another side to humanity, isn't there? You know, the side that we experience because of Adam and Eve's fall into sin, the stuff that we inherited that causes us the problems and the difficulties and the challenges, the fears, the loneliness, the pain, suffering, when disease comes into our life and we're worried about whether we're going to be able to get through this thing that we're living, or when we lose somebody that we love, and that loneliness and that fear of being alone, or that fear of maybe we're never going to see this person again. Those are the flip side of being human. And that becomes a problem for us sometimes in our relationship with God. See, it became a problem in the relationship with God for humanity from the very, very beginning, because Adam and Eve chose to say, I want to be more like you than what you made me to be, God. And they disobeyed, and that's why we struggle and why we suffer with sin today. We've inherited that stuff that Adam and Eve wanted, and we don't have a choice in the matter. And God looks at us and grieves for us and understands where we're walking. And that's when the problems begin for us, when we look at God and say, you know, God, I'm not sure that I need what you have done for me. I can take care of this on my own. A fellow by the name of Welch wrote a book, and the book is titled, When People Are Big and God Becomes Small. When we begin to think that we can sort our own issues out by ourselves, when we begin to think that we should fear the neighbor next door or the person next door or the boss or somebody else more than we fear God, then we begin to reduce God to this little being that cannot possibly take care of our problems. And the problems that we live seem to magnify and get bigger and worse and worse and worse. And God becomes smaller and smaller and smaller as we struggle with this stuff that comes into our life, because we're human. because we're human. And I think that's the world that Jesus chose to walk into, a world that had already said, you know, I'd rather try to sort this out on my own. I'd rather look at the things that I'm going through right now and figure out a way through them by myself. And Jesus came into that world, and he began to demonstrate to that world that God has the power to address the issues that they were facing. And he did many things while he walked on this earth that allowed people to see the power of God working among them. And people were awed. You know the face that we practiced? When he fed 5,000 people, with just 5,000 men, plus women and children, by the way, with just a few fish and a few loaves. The face that people must have had when he raised the son of the widow of Nain. Or when he called into a tomb that had had a body there for 4 days and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine the look on people's faces and what they must have done and what they must have felt as they saw the awesome power of God? And that's the God that calls us and serves us and wants us to be blessed with his presence in our life, with his forgiveness, with his joy, with his care, and with the assurance that he walks with us as we experience our humanness, both on the positive side and on the tough side, and especially on that tough side. You know, Centurion was a tough guy. Had to be. He had to be a pretty tough guy because he had risen through the ranks to become the leader of at least 80 to 100 soldiers. That is the kind of fellow that this was. He must have seen many, many crucifixions prior to the one that he saw that day when Jesus died, because he probably was on the squads that helped to do some of the crucifixions before he rose through the ranks and became promoted to be the leader of one of those squads that took care of crucifixions. And so there was probably many others that he had seen, and probably this was just one in a long sequence of other crucifixions of people that had been executed. This was a guy that was tough. This was a soldier. This was a guy that you wouldn't want to take on for any kind of reason. Weldon, I don't think you'd even want to take a centurion on. These are people that knew how to fight and knew how to take care of business. And on that day, at the foot of the cross of Jesus, he heard Jesus talking. He heard Jesus exclaiming. He heard Jesus telling the thief on the side, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He heard Jesus talking to John and telling, "Take care of my mama, take care of my mama." And then he heard Jesus say, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he heard his last groans, and he heard him die. And he heard him die. He must have seen many crucifixions before, where the ones that came up to the cross were not quite as beaten, not wearing a crown of thorns, not being a bloody mess the way that this Jesus was. And so he recognized that something must have been going on with this Jesus. And he heard the jeers of the crowds that were there. He's calling out to Elijah, "See if Elijah can come and help him now." They were mocking Jesus. And he saw that and heard that and experienced that. And then when Jesus died, something amazing happens. An earthquake that shook the ground, the scriptures tell us. The rocks were split. Graves of people that had died before were opened. And the amazing thing is that at the temple itself, the curtain that separated the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, from the rest of the places in the temple was torn in two. Something happened that this tough soldier recognized was different than at all the other crucifixions. And what happened that day was that heaven was opened up for humanity, for you and me, as Jesus died. And it caused this centurion to say, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And there begins our awe as well, that the God that created everything that there is, including us as humans, would be willing to take upon himself our humanity and then give up that life so that we could have a relationship with him is awesome. Absolutely amazing. And it should leave us with our mouth agape. And it should leave us recognizing that there is no problem that we can experience that this God cannot sort out. And it should leave us knowing that that love loves us with an infinite love that's willing to give up heaven to become like us so that we could have a relationship with him. And it should cause us to think this way. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I love this Jesus. I want you to love him as well. He is the awesome God that loves us and that we serve. We pray. Father of mercy and Father of grace, thank you. Thank you for loving us in the way that you showed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so strengthen us to be able to recognize your awesome power and the things that you did through your Son. For we ask this in his name. Amen.